Good morning. You know, most of the time, things work the way they're supposed to. Really, all the time, things work the way they're supposed to. Sometimes it's not just the way I think it's supposed to work. Generally, the Lord's Supper gets prepared before first hour. Mary Jo always comes in, makes it, and then bring it out between second hour, first hour, and second hour, between Sunday school and assembly time. And I noticed that, you know, during the songs, Lord's Supper's not out here. So stealthily, as much stealth as I can muster, I go get it and, you know, try to make it back in before Bill stops praying. But even though sometimes the king's business requires haste, I bumped the tray getting it out of the refrigerator, and then it was all over the top. Okay. At least on this side. Was it over here too? Okay, they were both in. And so I thought, man, I need to clean this up. And then I thought, no, I don't have time. But you know, I thought about that. And really, it went along exactly with Daryl's meditation. You know, sometimes I think, at least I have a tendency to compartmentalize. And so, you know, Jesus is okay dealing with our messes. And there was nothing pretty or compartmentalized about the shedding of the blood of the sacrifice. Maybe it needs to splash out of the cup sometimes, just to remind me of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not contained to just religious stuff. There's a difference between knowing the plan of salvation, being able to teach the plan of salvation, and living a sacrificial, Christ-like life. So sometimes maybe I need the blood out on the tray. Because what is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? What difference is the blood of Christ making? What's he doing? People say, well, you know, I quit drinking or I quit cussing. People do that without the Holy Spirit all the time. All the time. There are rows of self-help books that psychologically, see, people can break habits and live more wholesome lives. So, what's the Holy Spirit supposed to be doing? How is He supposed to be empowering us to walk in? How is that any different than the guy out there that's a good moral guy that provides for his family, that goes to work, that comes home? We're even talking about the mind of Christ. What does that mean? See? I want to talk about Barney, Caleb, Joshua, Jesus, and me. I won't have five parts like that, but Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 3. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the church at Colossae, says, "And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, having the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I am grateful and thankful that you have given us everything necessary, that we now, Father, are the jars of clay, the containers, the sanctified, the set apart, the temples, the compartment that houses the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God through Christ Jesus by your Spirit and the fullness thereof, dwelling in your people. Thankful, Father, that we have been lifted up . Lord God, help us not to be drawn into some sort of religiosity where we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. To realize you talk much more about bringing the principles of heaven to earth than providing a fire escape for your kids to get out of here. Help us to be about your business. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Renewed in knowledge, we have the mind of Christ. We've just concluded all those things that we, the logical sequence. And now I want to spend some time in the lab as we see how that logic is to be applied. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. God paints a shadow in the natural, and it's a shadow because it's already a done deal in the spiritual. So that we can comprehend the spiritual, he gives us physical pictures.
Which is why it's never been a very good idea to pass out the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs. If you want to raise up people who are a mile wide and an inch deep, then don't give them any physical pictures to look at. See, it's like trying to figure out algebra, but you haven't had general math. See, but everybody knows general math, so we'll just start right. It's not. These principles are for life and godliness, and they make sense. See. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. You know the setting. Numbers chapter 10, verse 11. It comes to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai. Oh yeah, they got the law on Mount Sinai. So they have received all the law. Moses has got it. They're leaving. Verse 13, they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Where are they going? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Well, we got the law. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What's the promise? I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey. So, off they go. What's their mindset as they leave? Then you've got, you see, intentional ignition. First time under the hand of Moses. Here we go. Now, in my margin, I've got a date there in my Bible. I don't like study notes in a Bible, of course, unless they prove my point. Then they're okay. There's a little note there in the margin that says 1446. A little date there. That's when they're leaving Sinai. Okay? Now, Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. They departed from the mountain of the Lord. Mountain of the Lord, we've got the Ten Commandments. On a journey of 3 days, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for a 3 days journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day, and they came out of the camp. So it was, whenever the Ark set out, Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee from you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." Now, where are they going? Well, they're going to the promised land. And then, chapter 11, the people start to complain. I got a little note there in the margin, too. It says 1446. I don't think a lot of time has passed I think it's days, not weeks, not months. From the time that they have left Sinai, had received the law, and they start to complain. And the Lord was displeased. Some of them He showed His displeasure with, but that they didn't seem to get that. See, verse 5, they said, hey, look, you know, we remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there's nothing at all except this manna. God gave them a manna. They go out and gather it, make paste out of them, make cakes out of it. Manna falls, people pick it up, and they're still crying. He said, no meat to eat. Back in verse 4. We want some chicken nuggets. Ain't no meat to eat. Set your mind on things above, not. You better have my supper ready, woman. Barney, Caleb, Joshua, Jesus, and me. So, God sends manna. It's free every day. Not even a food stamp exchange. Take it, eat. No! We want chicken nuggets. Numbers chapter 11, verse 18. God said, I'll tell you what. Consecrate yourselves by tomorrow, and you will eat meat, for you have cried in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who giveth meat to eat? It was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. And you'll eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out your nose. Until it becomes loathsome to you. That means you can't stand it anymore. And the Lord who is among you has went up, see, and you've wept before Him saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? A little note in my Bible there on the side says 1446. It didn't take them very long, see? Numbers chapter 11, verse 31. Now, wind comes out. From the Lord. And it brought quail. Wasn't quite chicken nuggets, but you get the idea. Brings quail from the sea and left him fluttering near the camp. About a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side. Man, there is more quail there than Tyson's got chickens. And about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground, and you can reach up and wring their necks. The people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered quail. He who gathered least, gathered at least 10 homers. And they spread them out before themselves all around the camp. Man, look what we got. And they got, you know, there ain't no plug-in freezers. I mean, this is like Buffalo Bob shooting all the buffalo, you know? I mean, they got... look at the selfishness there. See, just because... you know, I don't know anybody like that. Just because it's free, I'll take it. I don't mean if I need anything or not, you know, but I'll take it and pile it up. Because I'm giving it away, I mean, you know. And while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of God was aroused among the people, and the Lord struck the people with a plague. Look, I'm trying to take you to a land of milk and honey. What are you doing? Well, Moses, he got more trouble. See? Miriam and Aaron, chapter 12. They're going to get after him now because he had... it's an Ethiopian woman that he had married. Oh yeah, and there's a little note in the side there in the margin that says 1446. I'll impress upon you, not all time is passing here. See, the Lord's intent was to take them from Sinai to the Promised Land. And where's their focus? Avoid pain, pursue pleasure. Think the Lord is patient? Well, man, I mean, demonstrating some patience here. Chapter 13, verse 1. Oh yeah. Out in the little column, there's a date there too. It says 1446. Send some spies, God says to Moses. Send some spies into that land. Remember that land I promised you? Flows of milk. Send some spies in there, see? I want them to look at, verse 2, send men up to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel, from each tribe of their fathers, and send a man, everyone, a leader among them. So Moses sends out and even lists all the tribes here. Verse 17 says Moses sends them out to spy the land of Canaan. Tells them to go up, take a look at it. They took take a look at it. Verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, said to them, go up, this way to the south and go up to the mountains, see if people dwell in where they're strong or weak, where there's few or where there's many. Verse 25 says they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up with Caleb and Joshua said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Caleb and Joshua said, God said it. Yeah. I believe it, and that settles it. The old boy said, well, God said it and that settles it, but we don't believe it. Circumstances say that's not the case here, because these guys, I mean, they're giants here. You see? We ain't going. And because there's, you know, 10 of these guys and 2, Joshua and Caleb, of course, you know, even then, democracy rules, you know. Great power in numbers. People don't agree with you. And so, chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voices, cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Oh, we can't do this. This is too hard. I mean, we're all just a bunch of twisted sinners. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we died in the land of Egypt. We should have died out here in the wilderness. Well, why did the Lord bring us to this land to fall on the sword? He brought us all this way. He's not going to drop us on our head. Our wives and our kids are going to become victims to these giants. It'd be better off if we were slaves. At least we wouldn't get killed. Let's get a new leader and take us back to Egypt. Barney and Caleb and Joshua and Jesus and me. Verse 6 of chapter 14. Joshua's son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to the congregation and the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, and surely He does, I mean, because He's brought us here, then He'll bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Or fear the people of the land, for they're our bread. Man, they belong to us. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And the congregation said, you shut up or we'll kill you. Then something interesting happens. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And here's the message from the glory of the Lord. Go down with me to verse 29. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who are numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. except for Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. The only reason they didn't get a direct flight from Sinai to the Promised Land was their unbelief. Circumstances convinced them that God was not able to deliver. And you know, I kind of think it's a lesson too that sometimes you know we think we're supposed to maybe leave in a snit because people aren't doing what they ought to do. I'll tell you what, Caleb and Joshua had to go through that 40 years too. They didn't get to go to the Holiday Inn while everybody else. See, no, they, you know. I wonder what their attitudes were. You think they spent 40 years saying, "I told you so"? If you guys would have listened to me, we wouldn't be out. I don't think so. See, God has a logical plan and progression. But if you're not in that logical plan and progression, and you don't know what the Holy Spirit is even supposed to be doing, and you have no idea about having the mind of Christ, see, circumstances then are going to dictate our responses. My point is, it's not a three-point sermon if I can get a point. Good. My point is, God wanted to give them the abundant life, the perfection, the newness of life, all of the sanctification that's available right from Sinai. They didn't need to grow into it or to mature into it. See? He wanted to take them right to the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, even 40 years later, of course, they're going to have to fight battles because if he gave them the land flowing with milk and honey and they had never possessed the land before, you know what? The thing's going to overgrow. There's got to be a progression there, but it's not a progression of oh, I decided I'm really not going to give this. No, it's so that whole mind of Christ, that whole progression, see, can work for our good. God's not trying to hold anything back from you. It was just days past Sinai that God wanted to take them into the land that flowed with milk and honey. But they didn't believe that God meant what He said. The problem looked too big. There's giants. That is the mindset of man. It's the mindset of Barney Fife. You know why Barney Fife is so funny? Because there's a little bit of all of us in Barney Fife, isn't there? Sometimes a whole lot. Now, you see, with Barney, you know, it's a combination of, you know, thinking like a, you know, using the principles of how men think, but yet, you know, he's reined in and a little bit harmless, and he kind of got, you know, kind of trying to do the right thing. He's always got Andy there to kind of buffer him, you know. But boy, Barney without Andy would be insufferable, wouldn't he? You see, the children of Israel are thinking, you know, somebody will take advantage of me. Somebody will take my stuff. You know, God only lets me have one bullet in this gun anyway. I got to protect what's mine. I paid for this stuff. We were better off, you know, at our other job. I was in court on Friday, and the judge was faced with a difficult decision, and I heard him make the remark that he said, and I ran for this job. Yeah, he ran for I mean, like what did I do here? You know, and I thought about it, and, you know, just like, you know, spilling over, and we can't compartmentalize this stuff, but I mean, I used to know guys. Well, I guess I still know. I know guys who are kind of like this. Who, I look. They would complain about, you know, Campbell's as an entity. And yet, take their paycheck every Friday. And I tell you, everything that was wrong, all the unfairness that they had been, that they had been doled out, and yet they're driving cars, and as though Campbell's owed them something. Ed Bousman used to have a sermon in. I heard a preacher ask him, he said, I wish you wouldn't preach that at this revival. And the tagline for Ed's sermon was basically, you know, if you don't like it here, go someplace else. No, you know, people at Campbell's, I don't care where you're working, if you don't like it there, go someplace else. But quit complaining. I mean, it ought to be pretty obvious. God hates that stuff. Seven ways to spot, to see if you're drifting over into Barney Fife territory. Because remember, we talked about Barney and Caleb and Joshua and Jesus and me. Which one of those am I going to identify with? Number one, Barney could never show any weakness or vulnerability. See it? If you talked about something, then there was a guy that I used to work with that, you know, if you went somewhere, he lived there. You know, if you did something, then he was a professional. Somebody told him one day, he said, you must be 120 years old. Because you certainly couldn't have done all that stuff in 40 years. But because of his insecurity, see, he wasn't able to show any kind of humility or weakness or vulnerability. They deserved the raise. They deserved the praise. They deserved to be made boss. Because the world's cheating them. Now, Barney couldn't accept constructive criticism. That's why Andy kind of had to be the psychologist. But boy, if Floyd tried to tell Barney anything, man. Number three, Barney believed he deserved everything. He wouldn't share anything, but he would borrow. Again, I paid for that, you see. Barney couldn't listen to anybody who didn't agree with him. See? Barney would make fun of Otis. See? Not to Otis' face. Barney exaggerated his achievements. It's the law. You know? You never have a tendency to embellish anything, do you? But at the end of the day, Barney was afraid to take risks. See, in our human way of thinking, following Jesus seems risky because it don't make no sense to us. It's really the surest. You can't have anything more sure than to follow God's word, because it's 100% going to happen. See, God said it; it's going to happen. But see, because sometimes it doesn't fit our criteria, it doesn't fit what we think it is supposed to look like, then it seems risky. That's why we're going to have to change our mind. That's why the Holy Spirit in your life is to worship 24/7. Because without the Holy Spirit, you're going to do the same thing these people did. Eventually, you're going to rise up and rebel and lean on your own understanding. At the end of the day, it's a lot less. Now behavior is going to grow out of belief. But you're going to have a hard time growing belief out of behavior. You get your mind right, you get your life right. You want to get your mind right this morning, you study to show yourself approved. None of us have arrived to the final destination. So, we continue. We continue to be subject to Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He continues on the throne. We continue spiritually in our inner man, bowed before Him and subject to Him. Because Jesus saves and He also empowers. If you're not saved this morning, we can talk about how to do that. If you're not empowered, we can open God's Word and figure out how to do that. All you got to do, find somebody and say, let's get this thing right. Number 652, Jesus saves. Let's stand as we sing. Number 652.